Welcome to All 32 Picks and IPAs as we get into week 17, the final week of the regular season. But we're going to be going on to the playoffs, but let's go around the horn, and we will start off with a guy I know who finished on top this week, my good buddy Adam Emmert.
Present.
And we'll follow that up with, I'm sure, somebody who scored higher than me, Jared Tim.
I always score higher than you.
Not always.
Do the math,
not always.
He didn't actually plug
yeah,
his picks
I did.
In,
so I made a pretty big mental error. You know, I've been talking about the Broncos' mental errors, and they pissed me off. Well, I was sitting here, and I usually do the picks during the show as I go down the list, and my phone wouldn't let me do them, and then I forgot to do them when I got home. But I mean, I have written proof of what I picked, so we'll go through and
yeah.
we'll.
All right. Well, with a big fat zero last week, that's Jared Tim. And that leaves me, your co-host, Brandon Schultz. And let's get into week 17 of this week's games. We'll talk a little bit about what happened in this past week, week 16. We have our first coach firing of the season with one week left to play. Yeah, we got an interim coach for the final week. So we'll get into that. And we got some other interesting news and topics, too, we'll get into. And we're also drinking this week. I chose the Big Sky Ale, or the Big Sky Brewing Company Powder Hound Winter Ale. So it's still winter, and we're drinking winter ale. And this week, it's the Powder Hound.
This was my first favorite winter ale.
Ooh, interesting.
It's been first out favorite. For a long time. And so when I was young, you know, 21, 22, this was one of the first ones I was exposed to.
Sure, sure. Kind of like a first love a little bit.
Sure.
You don't know anything about
this
love.
One
you're
still
right.
Tastes good. This one still tastes good, though, years later.
Right.
So we'll talk about that coming up, but let's get into the picks, guys.
All right.
Adam, kick us off.
All right. Well, first game of the week. Is the New York Football Jets. And wait for it, guys, because it's yo-ho-ho, Fitzmagic, you know.
Don't ever do that again.
Never believe it's not so.
What'd I just say?
All right. So Fitzmagic and the Jets take on my beloved Buffalo Bills. I'm going Jets here because the Bills have basically shut everybody down and everybody hates Rex Ryan. What about you, Jared?
I'm going Jets too. This is a no-brainer. They're a better team. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And given everything else that happened with Belichick and the Steelers and I think the Jets are gaining some steam going into the playoffs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you guys give me the follow-up pick. And since I'm so far behind you guys, I'm going Bills.
I feel an Oppo week coming on.
I might have to do this all the way down the schedule if you let me pick last. But okay. here's why I think this is a Rex Ryan Super Bowl, right? We saw just how excited he got playing the Jets the first time around. It was like he won the Super Bowl after they beat the Jets. And you can't tell me he's not going to be pushing his guys for that same type of win to finish off the season, finish at 8-8, and you know perhaps somehow screw the Jets in. But they're locked into a playoff spot, right?
I'm not sure that they're entirely.
I don't know
locked
if they're
in.
Locked into it, but they will be. I mean,
oh, that's right. That's right. Because if they lose, Pittsburgh can still win, and they're playing the Browns. So we'll talk about that one coming up. But yeah, so I think there's still something for the Bills to play for in this game. I don't feel bad about picking the Bills.
Well, Jared and I were driving back from Idaho while this game was on the radio, or the Jets Patriots game was on the radio, and of course I was over the moon that the Fitzmagic came through and won that pick for me. But I don't know that it's so much that Fitz came through, Jared. You had an interesting theory that popped
Fitz
up
Fitz came
here.
Through. It's that Belichick came through against Pittsburgh. So the Pittsburgh game had ended. They had lost. And so Belichick had to have known this. So he elects to defer in overtime and give the Jets the ball, who had actually been moving the ball fairly well. And he knew that with a Jets win, Pittsburgh was all but eliminated from the playoffs. And so the Jets march right down and score a touchdown. Pittsburgh eliminated. Because Belichick and everybody else who's going to be in the playoffs in the AFC does not want to face Ben Roethlisberger at this time. And so that Pittsburgh game ended maybe a half hour before overtime had kicked off. Belichick had to have known that. And I think it was strategic that he elected to defer and kick the ball into overtime to kick Pittsburgh out of the playoffs.
Are you buying the Dark Lord's evil plan, Brandon?
Well, that's the best explanation that I've heard for it so far, because it was inexplicable at the moment why you would go ahead and defer. It wasn't like there was any wind to speak of that you'd have to worry that kicking one direction or another would help you out at all. So, I don't think you ever want to give. I think we did see a game a few years back where it was strategic, and maybe it was a Vikings game outdoors, and there was some pretty significant wind, but that's not what was going on here.
Coaches have done it this year, and it's been successful.
Yeah.
Deferred. So, I mean, there's some logic in it.
Well, and then you look at it, and when the coin toss had happened, Slater acted like he was surprised, right? He was the only one that acted surprised that they elected to defer. You know, and he was the one who called it. You know, he was one who elected.
He had to sell it.
He had to sell it a little bit, I think.
Yeah,
nobody on the sidelines was stunned. Belichick wasn't stunned. Slater was the only one who barely kind of threw his arms up. I think this was all just a play. Screwing with everybody.
I understood his explanation. Slater was the guy who called the coin toss for the Patriots, right?
Right, the special teams.
Yeah, because he said he had checked with the coach multiple times to make sure that's exactly what he wanted to do, because he didn't want to be wrong on that. Mm-hmm. And then when I think the official motioned that the Jets were able to pick which end zone they wanted to go toward, and that's when he looked over to the sidelines like, wait a second, we deferred. Don't we get to pick what direction that we want to go? And so was his explanation as to why he had that look on his face.
So it was the plan the whole time.
Yeah,
sure. Sure. I could just see Belichick. Pittsburgh's gone now.
Yeah,
they're on to Miami.
I'm kind of glad they're out. I mean, the playoffs are better with Pittsburgh in it, but man, I'm glad I don't have to play them.
Having
our favorite team, Brandon, not in the AFC, I would have liked to have seen Pittsburgh in, but I understand where you're at there, Jared. All right.
They're not totally out. And the picks on this game, 25% with Buffalo. That means 75% with the Jets. Mm.
All right, so moving on to what has become an interesting game now that Chip Kelly has been fired.
Oh, no way.
As the Philadelphia...
I didn't know this.
Philadelphia Eagles head coach, it's no longer Mr. Chip in control. Eagles go on the road to face their NFC East rivals, Brandon, the Giants. And to give you a leg up, I'm going to tell you, I'm picking Eagles because they're going to show some pride.
Oh, man. I guess I have to go Giants then, because Odell Beckham will be back. I'll go with the Giants on this. They're at home playing for Tom Coughlin's job, and the Eagles without Chip Kelly, they could turn it around now that Chip's not there. I don't know if that happens in the final week of the season. They're going to shut it down. I'll go Giants.
Man, I couldn't have been more wrong about this crap.
Yeah, it happens, man. I, you and Peter King.
Well,
yeah, Peter King tweeted out that he felt like a rube because he had no idea this was coming.
So what I do think is going to happen in this offseason with the Giants, I think Coughlin's going to step down. I think he's just going to step down.
Yeah.
And he's going to save the organization from having to do the firing and all this stuff. I think the players are going to go into this game knowing this is their last time to win a game for Coach Coughlin. And I think they're going to do it at home in front of his home crowd. I'm going Giants all the way, regardless of whether I was obviously wrong about Chip Kelly or right. Giants are winning this game at home.
So you know what motivates players more than playing for their coach's job? Playing for their own job. And that's exactly what all these Eagles players will be doing in this game. They are auditioning to Howie Roseman, who I'm sure will be back in charge as the GM and showing that they belong on this team. We're talking DeMarco Murray, Sam Bradford. I mean, guys that have a lot of money tied up right now, potentially, with this team. I like the Eagles on the road. Initially, I had picked Giants, though, but after I heard about Chip's swan song, I'm going Eagles.
The interesting thing about that the story when I first saw it, it said Chip Kelly released. And I had to take a double take on it, like, well, wait a second. Don't coaches get fired? Isn't that what they call it? But
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Canned.
Yeah. I always thought that was the case.
All right, let's take a quick 5 minutes of wild speculation of where you think Chip Kelly is going next. Tennessee? San Francisco? I mean, geez, take your pick. I mean, there's a lot of jobs. Maybe Indianapolis? What do you guys think? Do you have a gut feeling at all?
You know, I don't know if he's going to coach in the NFL next year.
I think he will.
Really? You think people are going to put their eggs in that basket? He actually tore apart a pretty talented team for a quarterback who was lesser than the one that he had, brought in these running backs, one which he never played, which he should have. I don't think anybody's going to have the faith in him on a personnel
basis. He won't have personnel charge.
Who he plays is also in question. That's the personnel I'm talking about. I know he won't be bringing anybody in, but who he puts on the field is also very questionable. I don't see him getting a job in the NFL again. I know he will in the future. I think he goes back to college first, like Harbaugh.
Interesting. Yeah, Tennessee makes the most sense, right, as far as there's this quarterback that he wanted to get in the draft. There's a position open there. And I don't think it's San Francisco, Adam, obviously, because
Tom Sula's gone.
I guess maybe because it's West Coast, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, he's a West Coast guy.
Let's look at it this way. Do you guys think Chip Kelly is one of the top three coaches available? I do not.
Oh, no. But there's a team that's going to...
When you look at Tennessee...
But he's a name.
Yeah, but there's a lot of owners. But when you look at Tennessee, who would you rather have? Him or some of these other guys coming out?
Oh, some of these other guys.
You know, you got Peyton. You got Adam Gase. You got a lot of guys who are coming out. You got Josh McDaniels. I think there are several names you would put above Chip Kelly as these high-profile names available, and that's why I think he's going to lose out in the NFL draft of coaches because he's not one of the top five guys, I don't think, at this point.
There's a lot of, like, maybe Miami even. Like, there is somewhere that you could see him going, young quarterback who's mobile and all that. Look, I think, especially like a Miami, that's a team that likes glitzy signings, right? I mean, he is a name. Now, I don't think that that style of offense is sustainable in the NFL because of time of possession, period. It wears out half of your team, and it doesn't work in this day and age. Look, I mean, it depends on what Chip's all about. If it's about proving that his system really does work on the NFL level, he'll take another NFL job somewhere. I promise you he'll be in the league.
If he's offered one.
He will be. He will be.
He could talk his way into a job, I think.
Somebody will. But if he's about getting them checks, he's going to college. You make a lot more money being a college head coach. And we know his system works there. I mean, he could be the UCLA head coach when Jim Mora gets hired for one of these NFL jobs. Because he's a hot name right now. Okay. I thought that was interesting stuff. All right, moving on.
I'm not going to be wrong about him twice. He's gone in the NFL.
We'll see. All right. Speaking of another team that could be without a coach at the end of the season, the Detroit Lions. Maybe you see Chip resurface there.
No.
On the road against the Chicago Bears. Screw this game. I don't really care. Lions.
I'm going Chicago because they're at home.
Okay.
And it's going to be a cold weather game, and the Lions are a dome team. That's it.
All right.
I'm going Lions just because I think they're the better team, and it's a coin flip as far as user consensus goes. 52% with the Bears, 48%.
I don't think anybody feels good about
this. You just pick one.
Nope.
That's what you do. All right, NFC South matchup, both teams out of the playoffs, but Sean Payton and Drew Brees saying they are going to be in New Orleans for long after 2015, both making that verbal commitment, at least publicly. What that means behind closed doors, nobody really knows. On the road against Dan Quinn and the 8-7 Atlanta Falcons. Jared, who you got?
Well, when you get guys like Sean Payton, who's been the quarterback or the coach for a long time, and you got a guy like Drew Brees, these aren't teams that tank in the end of the year for draft picks. These are guys who play to win every single game that they play. And
hello?
Yeah. Given the fact that Atlanta randomly won a game last week against an undefeated team, it is a total anomaly to me. Drew Brees still played well. I think New Orleans is going to carve these guys up, win by two scores. They got a lot to play for. Sean Payton might be playing for a job or coaching for a job somewhere else next year. You don't really know what's going to happen, but I'm going New Orleans. They got more to play for.
See, I don't know if that was a random win against the Panthers necessarily.
Really?
I think it was because they finally got the running game going. You know, Freeman had 73 yards, a touchdown. What's that been like his best performance so far in the last few weeks? So I think if the Falcons get the running game going, the Saints defense still one of the worst against the pass. I could see Matt Ryan lighting them up. And so I'm going Falcons.
That was Atlanta's Super Bowl last week.
Yeah.
They put everything out on the field for that. Drew Brees is too much for that team. I'm going Saints.
76% of users on my side with the Falcons, only 24% with the Saints.
76% of the population is below average.
I thought it would actually have been 50-50 on this one.
Interesting.
It isn't in the ATL, I guess, that soulless place, but, you know, like, whatever. All right, another matchup that we could all care less about. The 3-12 Tennessee Titans, what is it, Mettenberger quarterback, and then the clipboard Jesus and the Colts in Indy. Colts need, like, I don't know what, Brandon, like 500 things plus a comet passing the sun and not melting to make the playoffs, something like that. I believe I'm going Colts.
I'm going Colts on this one, too. Now that they are slightly in reach of a potential playoff spot, but like you said, not quite 500 things, but it is 10 full things that need to happen. One of those things, actually.
How is that possible? How do we get to this point in the season? And they literally have a chance if 10 things go their way.
It must come down to strength of schedule, because for this many things to have to happen, that's the only explicable reason.
All right, rattle them off.
Okay,
rattle
so the first thing already happened. The Broncos did beat the Bengals, almost. And the second one, Colts have to beat the Titans, so they have to get the job done themselves. Steelers have to beat the Browns. That could happen. Broncos beat the Chargers. Realistic. Falcons beat the Saints. That's who I just picked. Bills beat the Jets. I also picked that, so that means that probably won't happen.
probably not.
Jaguars have to beat the Texans, because the Texans are in the lead in that division. The Dolphins have to beat the Patriots. That's probably not happening. The Ravens have to beat the Bengals. And we didn't think they could beat the Steelers, but they did. So that has to happen. And the Raiders have to beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
The list of the games that you read off after the first five, you lost me.
Okay.
Because none of those are probably going to happen.
No, not all of them.
Because those are all giant mismatches, and I can't imagine that they're all going to happen. I mean, you started with Buffalo needing to beat the Jets, and then what was the other one? I think Jacksonville had to lose to Houston. I don't think that's going to happen.
Patriots
either.
Have to go down.
Yeah, and then Oakland has to beat Kansas City, I believe, is what you also said. I don't know. It could happen, though.
There's a couple of those things that could happen, but it just seems really unlikely that all of them would happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So how unlikely is it that Chuck Pagano keeps his job?
I think
he's
gone.
Does he need more than 10 things to go right now?
I don't know. Well, is his job really on the line?
It is.
Oh, man, the GM hates him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's sticking around.
But the owner doesn't seem to like either of them. So I don't know what's going to happen.
How about they bring Harbaugh back from Michigan to coach Andrew
Gross.
Luck?
Gross.
That'd be hilarious.
He's not leaving Michigan.
That's a possibility.
It is not.
I'm going Indy.
Oh, if you're Harbaugh, though, you seriously consider
yeah,
that,
you
don't
do.
You? Don't
yeah.
you?
You're just buying time in Michigan to get another NFL job.
Well,
maybe.
His alma mater. He's got a legacy, you know, rah, rah.
Yeah, 1 year is cool.
If they throw a bunch of money at me, I'd be going.
They can't throw more money at him than Michigan has.
No, probably not.
Okay.
Did I mention I'm picking Colts?
Yes.
I'm picking Colts. 91% going with the Colts.
Well, it's what? Charlie Whitehurst, Zach Mettenberger Bowl?
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie Whitehurst in week 17 games has a pretty good record.
Does he?
I don't know. I know
zero,
he's won
zero?
At least one.
What is it? What is it?
He's won at least one game in week 17.
Didn't he win against the Rams?
Yeah, that was the NFC West championship.
So he's at least 1-0.
You guys mean you used to have a quarterback that could beat the Rams?
Yeah, once. Happened. Not this year, though.
No, cool. No.
Oh, man. All right, NFC East matchup. The NFC East winners. The Washington team. Do you like that, Jared?
I do like that. You know, I think Kirk Cousins has a chance to win an upset game in the first round. I mean, we talked about, Adam, and you said it perfect. You're like, if this team or any of these lower-level teams that are in the playoffs put together their best game against a high-level team who puts together a mediocre game, they could very easily win this. Mm-hmm. With their fairly consistent defense, you know, I think a fairly consistent run game, and Kirk Cousins, who has shut down the turnovers almost completely, I think they have a chance to win in the first round. I don't think they'll get much past that because they're not with the likes of a Seattle or a Carolina or an Arizona. They're not going to beat any of those teams. But if they do get an easier game in the first round, they might win it. Now, I don't know how that's going to shake out. But
be either Packers or Vikings, maybe?
Yeah. Ooh, Vikings. I don't think they could beat the Vikings.
But they
that'd
could beat
be
the Packers
game,
right now,
they
though.
Could easily beat the Packers. Anybody could beat the Packers.
The Packers? But that could be a shootout game between those two teams.
Yeah, if the Packers could still shoot out.
So I don't know if I forgot to mention, but Washington's playing the Cowboys in Dallas.
They're winning. Yeah, Washington's winning this game.
Are they? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Though divisional games. How many times did we see one of those divisional games happen last week? Where, I mean, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Well, my question when I tried to pick this is, what does Washington have to play for anymore? Like, they've locked up the division. They can't possibly get any higher in the standings.
Right. Experience. They're just trying to get the chemistry.
They've been doing it. It's the same guys for a long time. I think they rest a lot of dudes. I'm taking the Cowboys. I'm going Kellen Moore.
Thanks, Adam. That makes my decision easy to stick with Washington. I had to pick them originally, but just because I couldn't pick the Cowboys. I think you make a good case, though. What do they have to play for? This is essentially their bye week, right? Because, like you mentioned, they can't get any lower than four. They're in the playoffs, and so what if they're 8-8 going into the playoffs? If they can put themselves in a better position to rest guys and be healthy for whoever they end up facing in that spot. Maybe that's what they do, but I'm still going Washington on this. Yeah, let's see RG3 out there.
Isn't he third? No, he's not going to suit up. Isn't Colt McCoy ahead of him on the
probably.
Depth chart?
I think so. They don't want RG3 getting hurt and having to pay him.
Adam picked Greg Hardy this week.
I know. The Cowboys. He just happens to play there. I don't feel good.
I'm disappointed.
I am too. All right. But it's not enough to make me change my pick. Somebody's got to pick the Cowboys.
Yeah, 23% picking the Cowboys, 77% with Washington.
All right. All right. The New England Patriots go on the road against the Miami Dolphins, Brandon. Dolphins are heart garbage. Or heart garbage?
Heart garbage.
Yeah, hot garbage. There it is.
Well, I think we've mentioned in the past that the Dolphins can't seem to put together a win at home. I think only two wins at home on the season, and the Patriots coming to town, even if the Patriots sit some of their guys, which they're still playing for that number one seed. So I think they will go ahead and just throw their guys out there and just probably put this away by halftime and set the guys in the second half. So I'm going Patriots along with 91%.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think the Patriots are going to jump on him early. I think Gronk's going to have a big first half because nobody's going to be able to cover him. And I think they're going to be up by enough to where you might see Tom Brady into the third quarter a little bit. But after that, I mean, New England's playing for the one seed. And, I mean, a question after we're done making our picks here is I kind of have some questions about Ryan Tannehill. But I'm going New England in this game because, like you said, Brandon, Miami doesn't win at home.
Well, I don't think it's going to be the Patriots scoring fest that you guys think, too. I mean, divisional games, man. Like, these things are always close. I think it's going to be a slugfest a little bit for the Patriots, but they do come out on top. They're awfully banged up.
They really are.
In that offensive line, I mean, they lost another offensive line. Volmer, I think, went down in the last game.
Did.
That's a big loss for them. Yeah. He's been the one anchor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think his backup even went down. So I'm not a big believer in their offensive. I think it's going to be difficult for them going up against Vernon Oliver and Ndamukong Suh in that entire Cameron Wake, the Dolphins offensive line. I think it's going to be a struggle for them, but they are playing for the one seed. And I do like the Patriots when it's all said and done. I just think it's going to be like a one-score game, and they're going to have to play for it.
Okay, so my question about Ryan Tannehill is, given all the coaching changes and everything else and some new personnel that they brought in on defense and everything else that happened with the Dolphins this year, progress or regress?
No grass. Like, because he didn't even have a chance. His coach stunk. Didn't have a soul. Didn't even have a personality. I mean, he was just a guy. He was a mannequin that walked out onto the field and like called plays. I mean, they tried to implement some of Chip Kelly's nonsense with Bill Lazor as their offensive coordinator. Man, Tannehill didn't even get a fighting chance this year. I blame none of this on Tannehill. He's still a talent. Get him the right coach, and I think the craptastic Finns, and I hate them with the passion of a thousand burning suns, can be better.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure if the Dolphins make good hiring decisions anyway, so Ryan Tannehill might just be in one of those situations where he has to leave to improve as a quarterback, and I just don't see him... It does depend on who they get. I have no faith that the Dolphins can hire somebody worthwhile.
Next choice is crucial, right?
Well, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I didn't. There's a lot of people trying to throw him under the bus, and I was like, he didn't even really have much of a chance to even grow as a quarterback this year, even though he did last year. And so it depends. I don't know if he's going to have to leave, or they're just going to have to bring in new people so it makes it seem like he left to get better. But yeah, there's a lot of people who are just hating on him right now. A lot of Miami fans in particular and a lot of their media. But I think they're being a little too hard on him. I think he's got a lot of talent and a lot of upside.
Yeah, I wouldn't be giving up on that guy yet. That guy.
Well, and so, sorry, my original statement was going to be, I think he progressed because he saw a lot of crap this year. You know, he went through a lot of adversity as far as a player goes, from a player standpoint, as far as the coaching staff and everything else that happened in a defense who underwhelmed everybody. So I think he probably learned a lot from this.
So before Chip got canned, I saw Sam Bradford had some comments about how he really hoped to be back with Philly because he's realized over the course of his career, talk about a guy who's gone through offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator just year after year, and it just the way you have to learn new verbiage in the whole new system and how that sets you back year after year after year. Ryan Tannehill's kind of had the same deal. And I just have a hard time throwing him under the bus. Look, I pin my hopes to him. I mean, who are you going to get out of the draft who's better?
Yeah, you're not going to get anybody better.
Yeah, and he's got some experience. I'd stick with him if I'm in Miami.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, let's talk winners.
All right, let's talk some winners. I was going to say, you know, what do you think the chances are that the Dolphins pick up Kaepernick, though? Bring him in.
He's always wanted to be there. It'd be his dream team.
Yeah, maybe.
Exactly.
He'd be a great number two there.
I think so. All right.
He wants to start somewhere, man.
Speaking of winners, number one in the league right now, Wally's winners at 2010 points. Natha with 2,000. You got to be Bennett to win it. 1990, along with T.O. and 16, and Complete Catfish. That rounds out your top five.
What happened to Bald Eagles and Bear?
I was just going to ask.
Oh, no. I dropped all the way to number nine.
Ooh, I almost eclipsed him being at number 12.
Yeah, yeah. You're at number 12 with 1920. But let's go over it. I'm not even going to be able to go down the list of all the people that finished with 150 points, guys, because 21 got 150 points. Let's see some of the names you recognize. Little Hauschka on the Prairie. Little Hawk's Nest, Pullman Coug Hawk.
That'd be my vote.
Sloppy McFloppy.
That's good too, though.
And let's see, we got S. Monique 36, Stephanie, she's up there. Jess Trev, Jessica Trevino, Ross Wilderwing, he's up there. And let's see who we got. A. McFish and the Lost Alaskan. So a few people in there, names we might recognize from earlier weeks. In the Patron League, the Lost Alaskan leading that one. Fur Tejada, Adam, you're number three. And then in the Patron League, we had six people finish with 150. A. McFish, Do Better Blues, Little Hawk's Nest, you, Adam, the Lost Alaskan, and Ross Wilberding. So
so out of all the 21 people that finished with 150 that you could name off of names you recognized, I couldn't be one that you could have rattled off there?
Oh, well, I mentioned your score right at the top of the show, Adam. Come on, give me a break.
That's not enough.
And your name's not that cool.
Well, how about this for not being enough, Adam? I went back 3 weeks, and you, my friend, are the winner this week in the Patron League. You beat out Do Better Blues going back. You guys both had 170 last week, and then going back, you edged him 10 points in week 14. So
I'm a genius.
You're the winner.
All right. Well, fun stuff.
Said.
Let's move on. Yeah, exactly. let's move on in picks here. AFC North battle. Ryan Mallett and the Ravens, who actually looked okay last week. That's kind of shocking.
Okay, they beat the Steelers.
I know, but I mean, it's Ryan Mallett.
Yeah.
He goes on the road this week to take on AJ McCarron in the Cincinnati Bengals. You just got an up close view, Jared, of AJ McCarron. Apparently hurt his wrist on the last play, but will still play in this game coming up. Who's he got?
I'm going with Cincinnati all the way. I saw a lot of promising things from AJ McCarron. Once we started mixing it up a little bit, he definitely got confused. Our pass rush got better. So if you can get a little bit of pressure on him, he's going to get rattled. But boy, he makes back shoulder throws. He makes sideline throws almost better than anybody I've seen in the league. He really does have a knack for hitting those passes. And he did impress me. His composure was good the entire game. I definitely think he's got enough to win a duel with Ryan Mallett. I'm going Cincinnati, and their defense is pretty good. They got a little worn out in the end of the game, so I don't know how that factors into this game and how they've been playing all season, but they did look a little worn out in the second half. So we'll see how they play more towards sea level.
Brandon.
Yeah, the Bengals defense still is number one in the league in points allowed. So that's one of those statistics you look for out of a good defense, right? Yeah, a little bit surprising. But yeah, they are there in the number one slot. So I think they're able to hold the Ravens, you know, clearly. I don't know what happened. I watched a little bit of that Ravens Steelers game, and I don't know if the O-line for the Steelers was just that beat up, but the Ravens were getting to the quarterback. So who knows? Maybe if they're able to cover the Bengals receivers as well as they were able to cover the Steelers and able to keep that pass rush up on the Bengals. Again, this is one of those division rivalry type games, and there was a lot of that craziness last week It probably seems cliche listening to us this year, right? Because we say that every week whenever it comes to a division game. But it really is true, and you saw it play out this last week. I'm still going Bengals on this one, and 91% with the Bengals as well.
Ravens last week was a fluke. it was upset Sunday. I mean, that's what Peter King had entitled it. I mean, all these teams that were favored all went down. I mean, everybody went down. Yeah. Everybody went down.
Carolina went down. Patriots went down. Seahawks went down. Steelers went down.
Denver didn't.
Yeah, they came close.
Yeah, we did.
That wouldn't have been an upset either way because those are two playoff teams.
Look, yeah, that's true.
AJ McCarron moved the ball up and down the field in the first half at the very least against a very good defense. He's going to shred a craptastic defense in the Ravens. I will take the Bengals all day.
Well, and Brandon, you made an interesting point about Baltimore's pass rush against and Adam, you had said an offensive line that was pretty banged up. You know, Cincinnati actually has one of the healthiest offensive lines.
Yeah, they're good.
So it'll be interesting to see how this Baltimore pass rush competes.
And how you talk for the rest of the pod.
Oh, man. Yeah, this powder hound is pretty good.
Dude, it's
we'll
really,
get to that.
7.2.
It's been a little early. I'm not going to lie. Like, I got a swift buzz. It's all Brandon's fault for picking him. All right. Another AFC North matchup. The Pittsburgh Steelers on the road against Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns. A lot of Steelers fans calling for Mike Tomlin's head after last week. Also, Johnny Manziel gets another little video coming out of him drinking some black cherry malt liquor concoction. Look, I'm not even mad that he's drinking. I'm just mad that that's what he chose.
Like, you not listen to our beer review?
I don't know, but like that's unacceptable, soldier. Like that's the part of that bothers me. Brandon, who you got, and are you canon Mike Tomlin at this point?
No, I'm not canon Mike Tomlin. That's the Steelers. If the one thing they've been, it's consistent at coach. And I think this would be way too early. He's been a solid coach every year and in the position to win double-digit games. Now, I can see how, as a fan, you can't have your team losing to your division rival Ravens when you're in the playoff hunt, when you need every last win of the season to stay in it. I can understand the frustration. I don't think you make a decision because, again, who, if you fire Mike Tomlin, who are you going to get that's better?
No one.
No one, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Steelers are going to win this game. The user consensus on this one's overwhelming. Only two games this disparate on the among users. 94% with the Steelers. They still have a chance to get in, but that could be them on the outside looking in after if the Jets are able to hold on and win.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going Pittsburgh just because Cleveland sucks. And the last thing that I do...
There's a song that goes like that, that Drew Carey used to sing.
No, that's Cleveland Rocks, unfortunately. I might disagree with it, but last thing that I do is fire Mike Tomlin before Ben Roethlisberger is done playing football. These guys have been together for a really long time. There's a lot of chemistry between the two of them. And Tomlin seems... He's a good coach.
He's a
really good coach. And if anybody's calling for his head, they don't watch football. They are stupid.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, Mike Tomlin's an excellent coach.
Well, and look at what he's done with his personnel. He's had an aging defense for the last decade.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, he can't do a better job. Granted, you got Ben Roethlisberger, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's proven it over the last several games. But when you look at how many games Pittsburgh would have won if Ben Roethlisberger would have been healthy all year long, and they were still in every single one of those games, calling for Tomlin's head is absolutely stupid, which is why Pittsburgh's going to win this game.
Yeah, and that's just the thing, right? I mean, Ben hasn't been exactly available for every game this year. And to hang that on
injuries, too.
And to hang that on Tomlin's head in a with a defense that's very much in transition. I mean, they got rid of Dick LeBeau this year. I mean, yeah. He was a stalwart of Pittsburgh football, and for that change to happen, they have Troy Polamalu leave. I mean, all of these guys that were the identity of this team forever, Ike Taylor to leave. And for him to take them to a winning record, you know how bad Rams fan would love Mike Tomlin
right.
to get them over 7-9 in any given season. Like they would love that.
Do you know how bad 20 of these teams would like Mike Tomlin?
Steeler fan is an idiot if he's calling for Mike Tomlin's head. This guy's a quality coach. He's got a lot of experience, and he's one of the youngest coaches in the league.
Yeah, since you bring that up, let's talk about all the things that have happened to the Steelers this year. Le'Veon Bell starts the season on a mm-hmm. suspension. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell goes down to injury. That's one of your top, three, four running backs in the league, some arguably yeah. maybe the best. And he goes down. The fact that you're able to win games with Mike Vick and Landry Jones as your quarterback,
right.
I mean, what else do you want from your coach?
He had one clunker. Oh, my stars, fire the guy.
Right.
It's just unreal. Now, speaking of guys that ought to get fired is Mike Pettine. Like, there's all these
reports.
Who would
love to have
out.
Mike Tomlin?
Yeah. there's a team where they're saying, oh, no, he's safe. I don't buy that for two seconds. Talk about a team who's in the market for Chip. Chip Kelly was interested in Johnny Manziel earlier this year.
Oh.
They were linked to trade talks. Hmm. And talk about a team that just goes for a splash hiring. Like, I mean, that's
the spot.
Haslam, that's that ownership group.
Yep.
That's Cleveland.
Yep, bad hires. That's what they do. So that's where Chip could be
Johnny
going.
Johnny Manziel is
going
to be in Cleveland next year?
He will, and Mike Pettine will be gone. Because that's the choice,
right?
So who
are they going to bring in to inherit him?
Chip.
Yeah.
No.
That's where Chip goes.
No,
the Browns.
No.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
There it is. We just doomed the Browns to another 5 years of heartache right there. All right, guys.
They can't do that again. The Browns have had the crappiest hires
can't they?
In the last 30 years. They will not go with a coach who has proven to be completely ineffective on two different scales, both as a GM and as a coach. They can't do that to their fans again. They want to go
can't
after
they?
A coach who actually is legitimate.
They let the whole team leave the town at one point, and they can't just make another bad coaching hire?
Solid point. All right. Chip Kelly's gone.
Chip may be back. I'm putting my chips on the table for that. All right. AFC South matchup. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who I picked to win last week because who knows about them, against Brandon, the AFC South division leaders and most likely to win their division, JJ Texan and the Watts. Who you got?
Yeah, Brandon Whedon leading the team to victory. How about that, guys?
How about him talking trash to the Cowboys right now? And they can't say crap to him.
I love it. Well, because Jerry Jones essentially said that they should have won. They would have won the games if Brandon Whedon hadn't been their quarterback. And so Whedon essentially said, well, how is Jerry Jones going to like watching the playoffs from the couch this offseason? So, yeah,
touche.
Take that, Jerry.
Touche. I love it.
So I'm going Texans on this one. 84% agree with me against the Jaguars. Jaguars going on the road. They've put their faith in Gus Bradley. They've announced that he's going to be back for another year. But still, I don't see them. They're getting better. You know, they're improving. They're a 5-win team. I don't think they're going to quite make it to 6. I think the Texans are going to win.
I think bringing Gus Bradley back is a really good idea because they have been progressively getting better. But, I mean, with Houston, Brian Hoyer, I think he's out of the concussion protocol, right?
So he could be back. He could be back.
Yeah. So you realize this is your last game going to the playoffs. Who do you trust more, a guy who's played with the team the whole year, or Brandon Whedon, a guy who you might think give you a little bit of a spark?
Who is your plan for the playoffs?
Exactly. That's what I don't really know.
Oh, okay. Because I think it's probably Hoyer at this point.
It's Hoyer.
Right? I mean,
that's
just because
what I was thinking.
Just because of the time that he's put in this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although I think Whedon has a little better upside with that receiving core.
See, I actually think he does too, but what a solid backup option.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but I think this team to me is a lot like Washington, to where they could upset in the first round a team that they play because they have such a good
defense. Washington minus.
Yeah, but you have such a good defense. You could hold one of these good teams to 10 to 13 points, sure, and you could randomly score 14. So I think they're kind of exciting to watch going into the playoffs with J.J. Watt, obviously, but I'm going Houston in this game against Jacksonville.
You know, I'm taking Houston, too, but I do agree with you, Jared, on the keeping of Gus Bradley. And it doesn't surprise me after reading an article about Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars earlier this year. That guy's a shrewd dude. I mean, he's a guy, and I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but he really is a smart guy, and he's very observant. One of the things that I took out of that interview was that he had viewed a lot of the other teams and observed a lot of the other teams that were successful, and one of the things that he saw was continuity as being a big part. And it's exactly the case we just made for Mike Tomlin. And just like you said, Jared, they're taking steps, the Jaguars, and I think they're on the right track. I do. I think Blake Bortles is a young quarterback who was kind of wild coming out of college. That was my big knock on him coming out of college. And he's still a little wild, but he's starting to rein it in a little bit. And I think that that's a good pairing. I really do. But I'm still taking the Texans, but good on Gus Bradley for holding on to his job.
Yeah, I think, like you said, there is something to continuity. Obviously, you don't want continuity if that coach is wrecking your locker room. But
Chip Kelly.
Exactly. So, but Gus Bradley clearly has the respect of his players, and I think that's a big reason why he's coming back.
Brandon, let's talk beer.
Let's
Powder Hound, Winter Ale. You chose this. This is from Big Sky Brewery, one of the first microbreweries here in Montana that became very popular, best known for Moose Drool.
Yes.
This is also a tasty beer, and man, it hits you with a swift buzz, and I just noticed 7.2%.
It's on the high side, isn't it, guys?
I didn't realize that as I started just these back.
No. So let's go here with the commercial description. Two words describe winter in our neck of the woods: cold, dark, and snowy. Just the way we like it. At 7.2 alcohol by volume, Powder Hound Winter Ale gives just the right amount of warmth, balanced by its rich taste and generous dose of Hallertau, Palisade, and Amarillo hops. After a cold day of getting it done or just relaxing, the avalanche of flavor will have you saying these four words: I'll have another Powder Hound.
Yes, please.
All I know is that it gets me buzzed before the afternoon games.
Oh, man.
Talking about the
afternoon just games. In this little ditty here. Yeah. So. No, it is. You know, out of the local winter ales, I prefer Byron's winter ale, the Groomer.
Oh, the Groomer.
I do. But this is also good. And I'm not big on the winter ales and kind of the dark or richer beers. They tend to almost taste like pie sometimes, you know, you know, a lot of spice to them. But this one isn't overwhelmingly so that way. I like the dog on the label.
It's pretty smooth. It's just a really smooth winter ale, to be honest with you. I mean, that's why I liked it for so long, you know. More than my first love.
I like it because it gives you more of the hoppy taste that some of your other winter beers don't. And so to me, it's almost on the level of like a pale ale, but, you know, it's more winter warmer as the style that they give it. But it has some of that hoppiness that a pale gives you.
Good point. Very good point. But
if you're a fan of the winter beers, this is one for you.
I think we're all happy with this beer, right?
Yep. 100%.
Hey, that's why I picked it.
Won't be the last time I drink this year, I guarantee.
It was in my fridge. That's a good reason.
I'll definitely drink more of these before winter is over. That's for sure.
Yeah, that'll happen. All right, moving on. NFC West matchup, week 17. Seattle Seahawks on the road to face the Arizona Cardinals. Brandon, we talked about this in our regular show here that you guys, I'm sure, have already listened to. Obviously, I'm going Hawks, but, you know, maybe Jared thinks differently.
Well, I mean, they came into Seattle and they beat you guys there. They needed to be the bully of that division, and they kind of proved that they were. And you guys have been playing really hot lately, but you've been playing some easy teams. So the things that I am curious about this game is, how are you going to play against one of these elite playoff teams? Because you have had some pretty easy games lately, and you've kind of been lighting it on fire. But since the last time you played these guys, you are minus Jimmy Graham. So we'll kind of see how that factors in. But since Arizona, you know, in divisional games, you can never really pick them. And it seems like when you pick them, you're usually wrong. But since, given the fact that they beat you guys at home and they have shown to be a very consistent team, You know, I think they're actually one of the more consistent teams in the NFL, maybe even a little more than Carolina, because Carolina has shown that they can blow easy games, big leads, all this other stuff. But Arizona is always cool, calm, and collected because of the veteran presence on both offense and defense. And I'm going Arizona because screw the Hawks. And I think Arizona's a better team.
Arizona does have a solid team. I wouldn't fault anybody for picking the Cardinals this week because they do have, I mean, Carson Palmer has just been lighting up the league. He should get more run as an MVP candidate now that Cam Newton isn't going to go undefeated. But here's the thing with the Seahawks. They have beaten every playoff caliber team in the second half of the season. And in the first half of the season, it was, you know, narrow one score games where it came down to it. So I like the Seahawks against, you know, to up their game against quality competition going on the road in Arizona, a place that they like to. Russell Wilson won there last year on the road, and I'm picking them to go in there and win there again. 76% though, going with the Cardinals.
Well, here's the thing. Just like you mentioned, Brandon, it's not like the Hawks have been blown out by anybody. I mean, that doesn't happen. Sure, we lost to them earlier in the year, but it was a close game. And sure, we may be down Jimmy Graham, but that's when the offensive line was a mess. Now, you saw the offensive line last week be a mess, and I think that's directly attributed to the fact that we only have five guys that can play. Yeah. We only have five guys that can play, and Russell Okung was out. And you saw when Alvin Bailey was inserted in there, the way that messed up the entire chemistry of the entire offensive line, it was a nightmare. If Okung plays, Hawks win. If Okung don't play, it's going to be tough sledding, because then we're not going to be able to run the ball just like last week. And so we'll see how it goes. But obviously, I'm a homer.
I'm really surprised at the 76%. I thought it would be closer to a 50-50.
I'm not by
50.
National narrative. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Cardinals have only lost two games, though.
Yeah, but if you've been watching the Seahawks play these last, you know what, 5 or 6 weeks,
yeah,
they've been playing really well, and the defense has picked it up a little bit.
I think it would be closer if the Seahawks held on to beat the Rams, maybe. But and the Cardinals, they have a solid defensive line. So
and the Cardinals waxed the Packers, and yes, Packers are a public team, and everybody thinks the Packers are awesome when they've been in just complete struggle mode for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that waxing is that big of a – it's like when we wax the Ravens, like, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Like, I mean, it's fun, yeah. But I mean, I don't know how much you put into that. And then as far as the Seahawks lost to the Rams, I mean, obviously, the people that are outside of Seahawks-Rams bubble overreact to that as well. when you know that that's just how that goes. Look, when the Rams' best offensive play of the day is to fumble the ball down the field, and they score on a touchdown drive by fumbling the ball down the field, like, that's how you know, it's just not your day,
yeah.
And you're just not going to win. And that's how it was, and that's fine. So, yeah.
Can we talk about Buchanan for a second? The 220-pound middle linebacker. So,
safety linebacker hybrid.
I've heard a lot of people say, given the speed of tight ends now and these slot receivers, that this may be a position that is up and coming. But what I've already thought is that the size of a linebacker has gone down a lot. You know, we're starting two middle linebackers that are under 260 pounds, under 255 pounds. They're these quick, fast guys. Do you think that as Buchanan player is a guy who is a position of the future, or is he going to be like these really athletic tight ends you saw for a while, who there's just not a lot of them, so it won't be a position of the future?
Well, I mean, I think he's following in the mold of Cam Chancellor.
I mean, I think he's following well in the mold before guys like that, like a Troy Polamalu is who he reminds me of, a guy who can play anywhere.
Okay, yeah, I see that. I mean, he plays much more in the box than Troy ever did. Like, Troy also
played. Troy was all over the place.
He was all over the place, but he was more even, where Buchanan's almost, you know, more in the box more than anything. Kind of like Cam when we play cover three and you just have Earl over the top. I think that's kind of where that trend has gone. And Mark Barron's another guy you can put in that conversation for the Rams.
Up really close to the line of scrimmage. Not as much as Buchanan.
But I do think that is an NFL trend, absolutely. I don't know if you see it the same way, Brandon.
Well, I think it has a lot to with whether or not the defense can play a lot of man-to-man coverage versus, you know, whether or not you're playing cover two or that type of thing. If you're a team like Arizona who matches up well man to man, if you're a team like Denver who can do that too, then I think you can afford to have a player like that where other teams maybe can't.
That's a good point.
He's fun solid to watch, analysis. Though. That was good points right there.
He is fun
impressed.
To watch though. It's interesting to see one of these kind of hybrid positions come to life like that.
Yeah, and I think you can do that when you have the Honey Badger behind him. I think it's going to be harder. I think it's going to be a little harder for them.
But how about that Arizona defense putting up the game that they did against Aaron Rodgers without the Honey Badger?
Well, so Adam, like
Aaron
you were saying, you know,
wreck.
When you have this trouncing by Arizona of the Green Bay Packers, I think, like you said, the Packers are a very public team, and I think a lot of people overreact to this. When I watched that game, I don't think Arizona was any better than they were before because
right.
of it.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, and I think without the Honey Badger, I think this defense might struggle a little bit with Russell Wilson because he's shown that he can pocket pass.
It'll be fun to see.
Yeah,
it'll
this
be fun
is the
to
game
see.
Of the week, I think.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
a lot of fun. All right. AFC West matchup, a matchup near and dear to your heart, Jared. The 4-11 Chargers with Philippe Rivers on the road, where he seems to always perform at his peak against the Denver Broncos and Bronco McKicker, who had him a little case of the shankopotamuses in him there. But Brock, the Brockinator, brings him back. You got Broncos, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, Philip Rivers seems we always split with the Chargers, it seems like. I mean, we'll beat them on the road, but they'll beat us at home. It's going to be a cold game. You know they don't like that coming from San Diego. And yeah, I got this. We have a more talented team. We need to put it together. In the first half of the last game, though, I thought we weren't going to be able to overcome this offensive line. It was that bad. And, you know, our safeties got hurt again in the last game. They finally come back, and they both get hurt. It's just, I don't know, but we're not going to lose to the Chargers. Not this time. Not in Denver.
Gotcha. That's emphatic. The fist pound.
Well, this one's a little bit strategic for me because I kind of think, Adam, that you're going to go Broncos on this one. So I'm saying bolt up, brochachos, going with Felipe Ruiz and the San Diego Chargers.
I love it, man. I love it. Yeah, I am going Broncos. I'm going with Brock. But, yeah, this could be one of those random games. Now, here's one of the little things I was going to bring up after the pod. And Brandon, this was my do better, as you know, from this week's show. But Eric Weddle fined for going out and watching his daughter's performance at the end of their final home game in San Diego. $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
How classless, man. How classless.
When I saw this story, Adam, I immediately expected this to be your do better. So it wasn't surprising to me at all. And the thing is, though, as you read about the story and the relationship that's deteriorated with Eric Weddle and the team, it sounded like he didn't even ask permission to go out there and watch.
Nor should he have had to.
Well, you kind of give your team a head. Don't you give your guys a heads up and say, oh, hey, my daughter's out here. I'm going to go watch her. He didn't even bother to do that. And then they put him on injured reserve, you know, before the end of the season, just to kind of stick it to him even more. He's not going to be in San Diego next year.
Yeah, I agree. And this is also a do better for me. I completely agree, but he should have given a heads up. That's
with everything that they've done to him and an emotion of that, they've been screwing with him for years now.
Eric Weddle?
Yeah.
How so?
Man, read the article. They've been screwing with him for a while now.
He's not even that good.
I'm not even saying he's that great, but he's one of those Chargers that have been around for a long time. I mean, think about the way the Seahawks placate to Marshawn. He goes and he hangs out with his trainers down in Oakland, and they are going to tell us when he's ready to play. You know what we say? Cool, man. You're Marshawn. Like, it's fine because we'll live with it. You're one of our guys. You've been a face of the franchise. And here they are with Eric Weddle, who's been a face of the franchise, and they basically throw him under the bus every opportunity they
get. He's not the face of the franchise. He's the beard of the franchise.
Yeah, and that's solid. So, really, I just think, look, man, in the emotion of that game, I mean, you saw how emotional all those players were. I mean, for him to make sure to tap the coach that's going to be gone on the shoulder and be like, hey, yeah, I'm going to watch my daughter. Who gives a
catfish?
You should do that.
That's still not a 10 grand
offense.
You should
definitely do that.
Whatever, man. I don't know.
Your job is to play football. You let the coaches know if you're going to be absent for any sort of time.
Screw authority. All right. Moving on. AFC West. Oakland Raiders, frisky. 7-8 on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs haven't lost since 1972, Brandon. Are you picking against them?
They're the hottest team in the league. They're going to ride this winning streak all the way into the playoffs. They got their last home game at Arrowhead for the season. This could potentially I guess there's a chance they could win the AFC West still, right? If the Broncos do go down and they get the win over the Raiders, that could still happen, right? Nope. So maybe this isn't their last game
at
Arrowhead.
The Broncos have clinched the AFC West.
I thought they clinched a playoff berth. I wasn't sure if they clinched.
Yeah, it was just a playoff berth. We have not clinched the AFC West.
Oh, no kidding. Nope. Oh, I was wrong.
So it may not be the last game at Arrowhead. It probably is. But I'm going Chiefs on this one.
I am too, just because the Chiefs have a lot to play for. The Raiders have nothing. I strongly considered picking Oakland just out of respect for Charles Woodson, this being his last game. It was hard for me to pick Kansas City. I know they're going to win this game, though. They just have a lot more talent. They've been very consistent, and they've been on a roll lately. But, man, I really wanted to pick Charles Woodson in this game. But I'm going Kansas City.
To you guys, ditto Chiefs. All right.
82% dittoing along with us.
All right. NFC West, Rams at Niners. Game of the inconsequentials. I want the Rams to lose and finish 7-9, so I'm picking the 49ers. Brandon, who you got?
Oh, well, you know, I think fortunately for Jeff Fisher, he solidified his job by actually beating the Seahawks. He'll be with the Rams another year. And I want the Rams to lose, so I'm going back to my my tried and true method of picking them to win and having them lose.
I love it.
Going Rams, 84%.
Ooh. You know, this after beating the Seahawks, this seems like a game that the Rams are probably going to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But logic says I need to pick the Rams, so I'm going Rams.
See, logic says the Rams never win the game they're supposed to win. Like they win the ones they don't.
You know, they're probably going to get blown out this game. The Rams are going to get blown out this game.
Probably. I'm picking Gabbert and the Niners, and they're going to carry Tom Sula off on somebody's shoulders, and that'll be the last we see of that gigolo.
After right. last weekend, though, I do love the Rams. I love the Rams.
You sound like Bill Clinton. Love the Rams. I love pie.
I haven't teared up.
You guys are all good. All right. Buccaneers at Panthers. Panthers go down last week for the first time. Unsurprising. I mean, it just had to happen at some point. That's better for their deal. I'm a little disappointed that they actually lost. I kind of wanted that weight of the undefeated season on their shoulders as they go in to the remainder of the games, but... Man, Buccaneers are slightly below mediocre. I have a hard time picking them. I'm going Panthers.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising to me that if they lose this game, they're going to finish 6-10, the Buccaneers, because for a while, it seemed like they were on course to be a potential playoff team. Yeah. But a team definitely with some upside. I think they have a lot of pieces out on offense, obviously, with their quarterback. They have some talented
second
receivers. Second best pick in the draft.
Best. He's on my team.
I don't know. I'll probably bad switch team, sides in the offseason sometime. I don't know. But Tampa Bay, they have some young guys on the offensive line, I think, that could bring some talent. So this is an upcoming team. I just don't think they quite have it in them to beat the Panthers this week. Panthers still. This was a game that was flexed from an early game to an afternoon game. So, you know, initially you were thinking, well, maybe the Cardinals would know their fate and have it know whether or not they could rest their guys against the Seahawks. Not the case. NFL switches the Panthers game to the afternoon, and both those teams, they're going to have to play for that number one seed. So pretty interesting. I'm going Panthers. 93% of users agree.
Yeah, they do have a lot to play for. And I think having a loss last week makes this Panthers team a lot more dangerous in the playoffs. Like you said, Adam, that whole weight of being an undefeated team, it doesn't bode well going into the playoffs. It just doesn't. And that was the best thing to happen to Carolina was a loss. Unfortunately, it came 1 week too late. They should have lost to the Giants. They should have lost to Eli Manning and the Giants. But yeah, I'm going Carolina. They just have a more talented team. They're going to play their guys. They have to. They're fighting for a number one seed. They're going to get it done.
And if the Bucs finish 6-10, that's five more wins than they had the year before. Yeah. Give them some credit. I mean, rookie quarterback, all that. Lovey did a stand-up job this year. I think we can all agree on that. It's a solid team in a lot of games. Even though they lost a few of those, they were in those games.
Yep.
You know, you can see them on the rise.
That's what you get with the best quarterback in the draft.
Or, you know, second. But NFC... Norski, or as Brandon would say, the Central.
The NFC Central Championship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great game, and it's our Sunday night game. We get Al Michaels and Collinsworth on the mic. Vikes at Packers. Brandon, we've talked a lot of crap about the Packers the last few minutes here. Are you backtracking?
No, I'm taking the Vikings on this one, actually. And this has a lot of playoff implications, doesn't it? Because depending on the outcome of this game, would it kind of, if the Seahawks are able to win, or I should say when the Seahawks win in Arizona, this is the game that will decide whether or not they play Washington, or whether or not a Vikings win over the Packers allows the Vikings to once again take on the Seahawks at home. So does that give the Vikings maybe incentive? They're going to want a home game, right? They don't want to fall to a wild card spot and go on the road to play Washington. They're going to be playing hard in Lambeau. Lambeau isn't that place where, look, Detroit went into Lambeau and won this season. So it's not like Minnesota can't do it. And Vikings able to run the ball against this Packers defense, I think. Teddy Bridgewater had a solid game this last week. The Vikings they're actually, I think, getting right at just the right time going into the playoffs. Another scary team that maybe you don't want to play, but I think the Seahawks match up well against them. I'll hang on to that. Anyway, I'm going Vikings on this one, guys.
You know, Adam, like you said, we've been talking a lot of crap about the Green Bay Packers, but that's the only substance to address with them.
Yeah.
That's it. They're horrible. They're not a good team anymore.
Yeah.
They're just not. And I watched Teddy Bridgewater granted, it was the New York Giants, but
it was
fun to watch. He is calm, collected. The running game works when they need it to. I think the Vikings are a good team. I have no doubt they're going to walk into Green Bay and just destroy this Green Bay Packers team, who essentially has nothing left anymore. They don't. They're going to basically backtrack into the playoffs and be gone. I mean, Minnesota's good. Teddy Bridgewater's good. This Minnesota team is good. And I mean, you guys might have to play them in Minnesota, which would be a really cold weather game, which would be a lot of fun.
Look, man, Vikings are playing their best ball right now. And Teddy really is playing his best ball right now, because Teddy, I was so right on Teddy. But it is fun.
For now.
They are much more consistent than the Packers. And I think that's the difference here. I mean, the Packers are up and down, and you really don't know what to make of them. And the chemistry between the receivers and Aaron is terrible. The offensive line is terrible. And I like the Vikes here.
Well, check this out, guys.
Better if they had Julian Edelman. They'd be a lot better. Cobb sucks.
No, Brandon's got a stat. He's going to drop some knowledge on you right now.
No, I want you guys to check this user consensus on this game, because we talked a little bit about this before, how enamored the public is with the Packers, right? Let's see if we swept the board, right, with the Vikings. I want you guys to guess the user consensus with the Packers.
63% Packers.
Are you looking at it?
I was going to go 60% because I thought that it might be irrationally a lot.
It's actually, Adam nailed it, 63%.
Wow.
That's why I'm leading the picks this year.
He's looking at us.
No catfish. No, look, I can't see the percentages. There's no percentages.
I was going to go more with the Packers because I just figured.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what needs to happen to that 63% right there? They need a discount double check on that catfish, because that's just wrong.
They need to double check their rosters, what they need to do.
Man. Well, here's the interesting thing. If the Packers do win this game, the Seahawks are playing the Packers in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes, please. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that. Look, if we play the Redskins, or I'd rather face the Packers than the Redskins in the playoffs.
I would too. I would too at this point.
Is that heresy?
I don't think so. And I also like the idea of, okay, you play the Packers in round one. That means as a number six seed, you go to Carolina and play that game. And then you go probably through Arizona for the NFC Championship, right? There's your three teams. That's like a revenge tour for the Seahawks.
Get your tickets now.
Unfortunately, you'll lose twice to at least one of those teams.
You can't lose twice to one team.
Yeah, you can.
In the playoffs, you can't. You can only lose once in the playoffs.
Twice
to
in
a team.
Year is
oh,
what
right.
I obviously meant there.
I don't know what you obviously mean.
Apparently. I thought it was pretty obvious what I meant.
No, what you said didn't make sense, Jared.
Exactly.
You lose twice to one, the same team.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
You'll either lose twice to Arizona or twice to Carolina.
Nah, not happening.
Or twice to the Packers, I guess.
Because Beast Mode's coming back. All right, guys. Topics. Anybody got topics?
I want to hear what Jared thinks of this whole steroid accusation, HGH accusation with Peyton Manning.
Well, unfortunately, it's gained a lot of steam going forward at this point. I think it's a bunch of crap because what do you mean gained? Everybody's talking about it. That's
sure,
the steam it's had.
But is anybody giving it credibility?
Obviously.
Oh, okay.
Enough to talk about it, I suppose.
About it, there's obviously a credibility factor there.
Hmm.
The thing that I have a problem with is that he even pinned Derek Jeter for this. You know, he's pinning a lot of these guys. And whoever came out.
Clay Matthews?
Yeah, the person who came out with this, they're obviously just trying to get fame out of it. I mean, if you have no actual evidence of it, keep your mouth shut. You're trying to tarnish this Hall of Famer's career. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's unfortunate that this is happening to him when his entire career in the NFL, he's been a stand-up guy. He's been a model citizen. He has been a model role model for the entire NFL. And this is what's happening to him while he's injured on the sidelines. I'm really disappointed. You know, it shouldn't have come to this.
No, I don't think it should have. I think just reading what I have about the article in general and how it was, you know, how the undercover reporting was done, it does seem kind of sketchy. And I think fortunately for the players, it does seem to be coming out now that a lot of the facts that went into the story, one of the guys that threw Peyton Manning's name out there in the first place said that, he
recanted
backtracked on
everything.
Yeah. So that was a main source for the story and said that he was just essentially lying to the guy because of the past that or some kind of relationship that he knew in the past. And so, yeah, a lot of just weirdness to this story and the fact that it was published, knowing that there would be so much scrutiny on a story like this is kind of interesting to me.
Well, it really sucks because once these stories come out, they don't just go away. You always think about them. When there's something like this, a performance-enhancing drug,
they
stick around. They don't just go away. And so normally when something that lacks credibility comes out, you can just toss it by the wayside. But when it's this subject with this kind of content, whether he's right or wrong, it doesn't go away. And so this is something that it's going to have to be dealt with for years, not just a couple of weeks. And that's the part of it that really sucks.
I kind of disagree with you on that. And for a couple of reasons, because number one, maybe I'm in the minority here, but when it came out, I was like, yeah, that's not true. Like, I mean, it just didn't feel true. And but the thing is with the main source recanting all of his remarks, saying he's never even met any of the Mannings, let alone the wife or Peyton or anybody, wasn't even employed there when this all supposedly went down. But I think the thing that's going to work in Peyton's favor here is the news organization that is reporting it is Al Jazeera. Now, I don't bang on Al Jazeera. I think they've done – they're a credible news organization.
Right.
Used to be.
Well, as much
They've
as
gone downhill
as much
lately,
as
right.
as much as right. any of the right, but in the average American's mind, when you hear Al Jazeera, you think of this Middle Eastern organization that obviously has different ideology than you do. Just ask Mike Ditka; he goes on ESPN and trashes them. So I don't know that this is going to have a lasting effect. But here's my real question: let's say that Peyton Manning actually did take HGH. Why is recovering from 4 neck surgeries on a degenerative spine and nerves are all messed up? Is anybody mad about that? I'm not.
Not mad, but it is against the rules.
I think this is where the issue it sounds like it could be true, right? When an article like this comes out, you go, oh yeah, well, that sounds like it could be true. So that it instantly has some sort of credibility in people's minds, because with all the athletes that you've seen over the years taking performance enhancing drugs, taking it to try and get back on the field, trying to recover from injury, and the fact that it wasn't banned substance by the NFL until after the fact that he was allegedly taking it.
That's a big point right there.
Yeah. It seems like it could be true.
Yeah, I mean, it is a banned substance. So if he took it, I don't agree with him taking it because it is banned, and you weren't supposed to be doing that in the first place.
It wasn't banned at the time that they said he was supposedly taking it.
So you can disagree with this lingering around all you want to, but we have seen this throughout history where it does linger no matter what. Look at Carl Lewis. Okay, there were allegations against him, And everybody was like, well, there's no credibility here. It's false. It's got to be right. And they never did prove it. However, they did an interview with him just a year ago. And Carl Lewis ran a long time ago. And this is still one of the things that nags his career.
There felt so like a lot more credibility with the Carl Lewis
or where
stuff.
It's Peyton Manning. These guys are legends in their sport. When an allegation like this comes out, it doesn't just go away because people will linger on what was said. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd love to say, yeah, well, the average American's just going to let it go. But they don't.
I think they will.
And history has proven that they don't.
I think they will in this.
Well, see, the interesting thing, look at the case with Lance Armstrong, though. It kind of lingered on. People had and it lingered on long enough to where people had said, oh, well, that's just people with, sour grapes because he'd lost so many or they had lost to Lance Armstrong. But there was a little bit of evidence there. But Lance did a pretty good job of covering his tracks, right?
And never believed him.
But the thing is that they hung along long enough for the truth to finally come out.
Right. And I mean, the reason I bring up Carl Lewis is because of all the sprinters that were running back then and taking steroids, they all got bigger. They all became more explosive, whereas he stayed the same size. He did not change. His size was the same. And so all the proof that they allegedly had but actually didn't, this still haunts him to this day, and he was an incredible legend in his time. And so the fact that Peyton Manning says that he didn't do it, I just see the whole Carl Lewis effect happening again because it does happen because this is what people dwell on.
You give Carl Lewis a much more of a free pass than I do. There was a lot of sketchy results there that got thrown out at very opportune times.
But they couldn't prove anything, and his body did not change. You can't argue that his body changed because it didn't. He didn't get any bigger.
Here's the thing, though, guys. Would it surprise anybody to find out if it did come out that it was, in fact, true? Because I can't be surprised at anybody, any athlete coming out and having heard they took performance-enhancing drugs. It just, at this point, that so many guys have found to have used that it doesn't surprise me anymore.
I think there's a gigantic difference between steroids or an anabolic steroid in HGH. And HGH, it helps you recover more quickly, but it doesn't help you build any extra muscle. It doesn't enhance your performance. It just allows
it
you to
does enhance your performance. It allows you to recover quickly.
It allows you to get back to being you.
Right, but it doesn't enhance your performance because you do recover quickly.
Look, man, when a dude's had his neck cut open four freaking times.
Well, I get your point, but it's like, kind of irrelevant. With
it's completely relevant. It's completely relevant to the HGH thing. I think it's a very different thing. And in fact, I feel like in 10 years from now, when HGH is made legal in every single sport across the board, we're going to look back at this and go, why didn't we let these guys who put their body through this kind of abuse use this healing substance by doctor prescribed notions on major catastrophic injuries before? It'll seem like the dark ages.
Look, I agree. I would love for myself, if I get injured, to be able to take HGH. But where
and you could
NFL
if you go to one of these healing clinics.
But where the NFL stance is performance enhancing drugs, which this clearly is.
I don't think it's a performance enhancer. It brings you back to who you are. It doesn't make you better than
injury,
who you
but
are.
An injury is a part of the game.
See, I just think it all falls under therapy at that point rather than one's a performance enhancer.
Well, the HGH that is being produced is produced in a lab.
Cool.
And so, no, it's not therapy, it's chemistry.
So, like any medication is produced in a lab.
Yeah.
And so what? That's not therapy? That's performance enhancing?
Depends on what the NFL wants to rule it. But, I mean, you get a serious advantage of taking HGH, and that's what the NFL wants to
and
rule
And the NFL
it,
hadn't
the
banned HGH when Peyton Manning has been allegedly to have taken this.
Sure. And, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say here. I mean,
I don't know.
I disagree with you. Trust me, I'd love to take
Adam
HGH
is just
going to
keep going until you admit you're wrong, Jared. That's...
Well, whatever.
Fine. It's nice being right. All right.
About what?
Nothing. I don't even know. All right, guys. That was a fun podcast.
And Jared walks away upset again after another.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we're going to disagree on the subject because, unfortunately, back to the original point, this is going to linger for a long time.
I hope it
and
doesn't.
And that sucks.
And you might be right. I just hope it doesn't.
It's going to. There's no way it's not going to because people like to latch onto this kind of crap. Have you met our media?
Well, people are going to ask Tom Brady about Deflategate until he's in his 50s, right?
Oh, I know. Exactly. Let it go. God. I
mean, that's just the society we live in. And to think that the people are just going to let it go, that's where I think you're wrong.
Mm, you might be right.
I am right. So now we can end the podcast.
Does that feel better?
Yes.
Okay.
Now this can end.
Does that make you feel better?
It has to end with somebody being right.
That's performance enhancing. It made him feel better. All right. All right, guys. I think with that, there's only two things left to say, and that's hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray football.
And hooray beer. Made us drunk, and we had a lively discussion.
Yeah, hooray beer.
Hooray beer.
Hooray HGH.
Yeah.
And Brock on.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.